Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name. We tried to stop him because he was not following us. And there it is, human nature, to label some as in and some as out. Out of the group, out of touch, out of line, us and them. We see so much of this aspect of human nature all around us, and certainly in the ways of politics and our national government. On Thursday, we saw sides were taken, even as we wish that the humanity of it all could have come forward even among disagreement, that the core of who we are as people together in this life can prevail. What really mattered on Thursday came through in some ways, but not in others. And we're left wondering, aren't we all supposed to be in the same country, on the same team, part of the same human family? Does it really take a war or a natural disaster for us to come together in our nation? In the case of our gospel account, Jesus' followers are complaining about a man doing what they do, but not being followers, not in their group. Jesus was so different than other leaders of his time that his disciples had known, so totally different. Do not stop him. Whoever is not against us is for us. What matters is the mission, not differences among people. Now, Jesus was using sayings and examples of his time that people would recognize about one's purpose, or in this case, one's faith, being so important that it would be better to lose a body part than turn from it. Jesus, so far beyond his time and yet of his time, knowing what people were familiar with, was using sayings that they'd heard before from others. Some even make the point that Jesus said, just take out one eye, being less extreme than the original proverb. So Jesus is using this language for emphasis, also not to be taken literally. And of course, this was no doubt written by people after Jesus' time who were struggling and trying to keep the group together, trying to show the importance of what they were all about. Jesus lived in a time, in a setting, in circumstances that make what he taught revolutionary. People did give up their lives to follow him. They did then, and we do now. It's not an eye or a foot that we cut off, but we may make changes or let things go as we grow in our faith, as we become more and more grounded in the ways and concerns of God, these ways and concerns that we learn from the way of Jesus, Christ with us. In our Episcopal 101 class on Wednesday, we discussed how difficult it is to love, as the Bible says, to love our enemies. And in our time, we might say that. We might also say people who hold vastly different beliefs and goals in life for our country. How do we love the people we saw and heard on Thursday during the judicial hearing with whom we disagree? How do we give up what stands in the way of knowing God for ourselves and welcoming the grace that God desires for us? Well, remembering St. Francis is a good place to start. As a young man, he heard God's call to rebuild his church. At first, he thought it was the church he was on this day praying in. That church, and we felt this way about our church sometimes, right? We look around, not so much in here right now, but we see things need repair. And he thought it was physical repair of that building at first. And this is so much part of how God works with us, right? God works through what we understand, and then God takes us even deeper into meaning. So Francis came to realize that God wanted him to change his life to help inspire others to be in this world for God and thereby rebuild the church. We are always rebuilding the church. We build it. We co-create with God the expression of God's love in the world for our time and our circumstances, even as we hold fast to the traditions that ground us in faith. It is possible to do both, to rebuild and retain. Sometimes we have to do this with our lives, retaining the core of who we have always been, even as we rebuild aspects of our lives. Sometimes things happen to us. Sometimes things develop or change. Sometimes it's because we're called to be our authentic selves in a new way or a newly discovered way as we come to know ourselves better. Yeah, that's right. Perfect timing. On October 4th, coming up every year, this is the day of St. Francis, October 4th, and around that day, we observe his feast as we are today, and we bless animals in his memory and in thanksgiving for him and the animals in our lives. St. Francis, like Jesus in his humanity, and like us in ours, St. Francis was bound to his time and place, but his God connection, his touching the divine, as he was being touched by the divine, enabled him to be a co-creator with God beyond the limitations of his circumstances. During the 5th century crusade, the 5th crusade in the 13th century, in 1219, St. Francis walked into the enemy camp of the Sultan of Egypt and engaged in a peaceful dialogue with him, who was a Muslim. I read a bunch of stuff online about this. People have a different take on it. Some people who are sort of in the very conservative Christian world like to say that, well, he was really just there to convert them. You can't really look at this as an interfaith sort of moment. And I thought about that and I was like, oh, come on. That's not very kind of, I don't know. But I think actually the person I read isn't totally wrong in that St. Francis was part of his time. Certainly, he wanted to share the love of Christ. But what was revolutionary and what made this such an incredibly important moment in human and Christian and Muslim history is that these two men, not just Francis, but the Sultan as well, these two men chose dialogue and love over war. And that was huge. Both of them moving beyond the circumstances of their time to something much deeper and greater that God was calling them to be about. Francis is, of course, known for his connection with the animals, his sort of groundedness that seemed to draw animals to him. They came to him. What do animals give to us in our lives? What do they do for us? They keep us in the moment, right? Even now, keeping us in the moment. And they don't care about our political affiliations at all, right? I mean, of course, but I think it's worth saying. They care about who we are in the moment, who they are, they're just themselves. And how calming it can be to sit with a dog or a cat or another animal. Now, not always, of course. Sometimes they're pulling us along on the leash. That might not feel that calm. But what a great thing to hold a loving, caring creature of God in the midst of the changes and stresses of our lives, reminding us that in this moment, we are good. In this moment, all is well. We give thanks for our animals. We give thanks for St. Francis. We give thanks for Jesus, all who show us something of what being grounded in God looks like. Animals do that just by being fully present, fully who they are without thought. Even as we bless them today, they bless us every day by loving us and showing us authenticity in action. Jesus, God with us, used the wisdom of his time to teach, but moved people far beyond what they had known and understood about themselves, others, and the human community. St. Francis showed us what the God-centered life can look like. Yes, he was a person of his time, but also a faithful child of God who moved beyond the constraints of his time through God's grace. God offers us the same grace as we strive to be more Christ-like than our circumstances encourage. Be that in our nation, in its politics, in our work, in our family. God offers us the same grace when we strive to be more Christ-like than our circumstances encourage. Through God's grace, we will not lose our saltiness, but have salt in ourselves. Be true to who we are and the people God is calling us to be, and be at peace with one another and with all. Amen.